Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Well, the pots and pans are out, the oven is turned up to 350, and the cooking has commenced. But not so fast. You may want to think about making some tweaks to those old standbys or add some new dishes to your table this Thanksgiving. To give us some tips, recipes, and insight on the season's freshest ingredients, Fine Cooking Magazine editor Martha Holmberg joins us to talk about the magazine's newest cookbook, Fine Cooking in Season, where it's easily broken down into seasonal recipes and ingredients.
Well, that's kind of the way I think a lot of people eat. You know, your appetite is so stimulated by what the weather is doing, what kind of holiday cooking you might be having, and of course what's in the market. That's really the best way, is to just be inspired by what is really in season.
And of course, then they're broken up by main ingredient, which is wonderful. I really love the beautiful pictures that go along with the fruits or the vegetables.
Oh, I know. The photography is so pretty. It's both informative and artistic at the same time, which is what I love. We really wanted the book to be both a resource and sort of a guide. So if you're thinking, what is kohlrabi again? You can go to that page and you can learn a little bit about how to choose it and how to prepare it. But there are also fantastic recipes, so you can use it as a straight cookbook too.
So what is kohlrabi?
Kohlrabi is the strange-looking vegetable. We call it like the Sputnik. It's one of the brassicas, you know, one of its sort of cabbagey, Brussels sprouty family. So it has that assertive flavor. It's very crunchy. It's kind of like a crunchy turnip. And it takes a little bit of getting used to. You can treat it maybe the way you would cook a turnip or even a beet. And it's one of those vegetables that has the, like, bonus two for one. When you get it really fresh, you not only eat the bulb, you know, the root part, which you can dice and saute maybe like you would do with the broccoli stem, but you also have leaves. You have these wonderful big green leaves that you can treat a little bit like Swiss chard or spinach.
There's a great recipe for kohlrabi fritters, too.
Yes. Well, you know, fritters is that sort of magic dish that you can put just about anything in, as long as you kind of bind it with a little bit of beaten egg and a little flour, maybe some chopped fresh herbs or a little lemon zest. And so in this case, we just take the kohlrabi and we grate it on, you know, sort of large holes of a box grater, like you would to make a carrot slaw, something like that. And then you can mix it up with any kind of a fritter batter. Fry it in a little hot oil. Those are the magic words, right? Anything
yes.
Tastes good fried in a little hot oil. So that's a fun thing to do. You know, kohlrabi, I think, is one of those vegetables that people who have a CSA, the community-supported agriculture, where they get the box of vegetables from the farm every week, during the late fall and winter, you might be seeing a lot of kohlrabi, and you have to get creative and figure out what to do with so much.
That's always the fun part, when you get that box of vegetables and figuring out what everything is and how you can use it.
Well, it's fun, but I think it can also be terrifying for some people. It's a responsibility, isn't it? You have that box of those yummy vegetables that were raised so carefully, and you got to find a good home for them. You have to do something delicious. So that is another great benefit to this book, is you can find actual recipes, but you can find lots of recipe suggestions and just information on how to handle these vegetables.
Now, you mentioned carrots a moment ago, and
yeah.
Orange is not the only color or kind we can use.
No, there are so many interesting, beautiful carrots now. Purple, you'll see a picture, obviously, in the book that has beautiful kind of golden, and then there are the traditional orange, and there's this gorgeous, golly, I don't know what color it is. It's like a deep garnet purpley. And when you cut it open, it's almost like a chioga beet. It has those concentric rings of, you know, dark pink and light pink. It's so pretty. And all those great colors, as you know, is where so much of the nutrition is, you know. Deeply colored vegetables have a lot of the anthocyanins and antioxidants and all the things that we want to be eating these days.
And just to kind of add to your Thanksgiving table, a great side dish would be a combo of the colored carrots, different types of carrots, and the braised sweet and sour dish.
Yes, that braised sweet and sour carrot idea is fantastic, very easy. And I like that kind of dish because you can cook it ahead and sort of leave it at room temperature or just heat it up a little bit. It's perfect for, you know, a big holiday meal where you're juggling so many dishes. And in this case, you just take big chunks of carrot. You could even do whole carrots if they're not too large. And just kind of saute them in a little bit of butter or olive oil or a mix. I sometimes use a mix. And then splash in a little bit of water or maybe some veggie broth or chicken broth, a little honey, a little Dijon mustard, and just let that kind of simmer until the carrots are tender, not mushy, but tender. Then what I'll do sometimes is, in order to make sure the carrots don't get overcooked, I'll pull them out, set them aside on a plate, and then just keep cooking the liquid till it's a really yummy, glazy kind of thing.
Oh.
Tasted, of course, and then put the carrots back in. And they will just hang there really happily until you're ready to serve.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Good. Well, you can do it.
Yes,
ready
indeed.
Ready for you.
And then in contrast to the sweetness of carrots, there are the chicories. Can you tell us about these greens?
Yes. I first was kind of fell in love with the chicory family when I lived in France. I went to cooking school in France, and they and the Italians, they just love the bitterness that is in this greens family. And that doesn't necessarily sound too great when you just say, oh, bitter, but it's always a bitter and a sweet interplay in these. In the family, the familiar members that people will know are radicchio, frisée, which is that wonderful, really curly, frilly, spiky lettuce. Escarole is very common. Those are bigger, kind of floppier leaves. Treviso is a variety of radicchio. And these are wonderful both raw in a salad, like there's a famous frisée salad with little bits of bacon and maybe some blue cheese and sometimes a poached egg on top. That's the salad lyonnaise. But you can also cook them. Braised escarole is fantastic.
It kind of gets a little bit of a nutty flavor, too, when you cook them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I find that when I cook members of the chicory family and also when I add some olive oil, that tempers the bitterness. And so as you cook them, yes, it gets nutty. They maintain some of their texture, so even though it'll be soft, like there's a fantastic and quite familiar white bean escarole and sausage kind of dish or soup. It's sort of, I think it comes out of the Italian repertoire, and people are familiar with that. So the escarole will get nice and soft and tender when you cook it, but it still has a nice bite to those fleshy stems.
And I think a nice alternative to the usual green bean casserole that people make is the green beans and radicchio with shaved Parmesan.
Indeed. And that's where the little bit of bitterness of the radicchio plays beautifully with the green beans, which tend to be kind of sweet and vegetal. And then you get this little spike of, you know, assertiveness from radicchio. And then, of course, the Parmesan brings you that lovely, nutty, salty, most miraculous flavor. It seems like every recipe that I write, I'll always think, that might be better with a little bit of Parmesan and maybe a little lemon zest in it. But there's no reason, you know, that just getting back to a Thanksgiving meal, that recipe is a great example of how you can stick with tradition, but also kind of introduce a slightly higher level of gastronomy, you know, of pleasure. Because at Thanksgiving, you always have people who want the same dishes that we've always had, and that's a lovely tradition, but you don't want to get locked into the way your mom cooked necessarily.
I agree. I'm always looking for new twists on a favorite to open up the palates of my family and friends.
Right, right, exactly.
I think the spiced quince and applesauce really brings something simple to a whole new level of taste.
Oh my gosh. And if you haven't yet picked up and inhaled the perfume of a quince, you have to do it. And if you have access to farmers markets now, there'll be quinces there, and a lot of good grocery stores will carry them as well. But it's unbelievable how perfumey and sweet and lovely their fragrance is. And of course, a quince, you can't eat it raw, no matter how much of a raw foodist you might be. It's very, very tart and very hard. But when you cook it, and you can think of it kind of like an apple in the way you cook it, it turns this beautiful pale peachy pink, and it has a very complex flavor. So mixing quinces and apples in a sort of a traditional applesauce format is just, as you say, it's a way of adding a new twist to something that people are familiar with. It's delicious.
And then what's Thanksgiving without cranberries?
And yes.
I'm not a big fan of the cranberry chutneys or relishes, but there are so many recipes here that the book has for us that incorporate them into desserts, like the upside down cake.
I know. Well, cranberries, you know, they really are. Talk about something that's pigeonholed. They're just locked into that cranberry sauce mold, but they are delicious. Again, they have that, they have kind of a sophisticated fruit sweetness to them. They're tart and sweet at the same time. They have a little bit of tannin, you know, whenever you've had a cranberry juice cocktail, there's that kind of edge to them, which makes them really fun to play with. And so in the upside down cake, you have, you know, the wonderful brown, sugary, buttery topping that they are a part of, and then lovely, tender sour cream cake. So that is a beautiful way to bring this fruit into your holiday table without just being the cranberry sauce. Or in addition to, you know, why not?
Now, it calls for cake flour. Can we use regular flour that's been sifted?
You could use regular flour that's been sifted. I might use about a tablespoon less, because there's a lot more protein in a regular all-purpose flour than there is in cake flour. Cake flour is very finely milled, and it's been bleached, and it's been basically made as kind of soft as possible, meaning it has a lower protein. And protein is the thing that gives baked goods structure in the extreme, like bread, obviously, has a lot of structure and a lot of protein in a bread flour. But yeah, I'm all about trying to make do with what you have. You don't need to go crazy and buy ingredients that you're only going to use a little bit of. So I think in this case, just a little bit less of your all-purpose flour will be fine.
All right, so we have our amazing side dishes, and we know we always have leftover turkey that we're usually sick of by the end of the weekend. So the grilled brie and turkey and pear sandwiches seem to be a great way to have a twist on the usual turkey sandwich.
And, you know, for me, leftovers is what Thanksgiving is all about. I love having leftovers, but exactly for this kind of reason, not just to do what, you know, microwaving the meal you had before, but turkey's really a lovely meat when you get it on its own, and this pear and brie is just a beautiful, very, I always think of that as a very classic fall combination.
Martha Holmberg is the editor of Fine Cooking In Season. It's our guide to choosing and preparing the season's best. Martha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Katie. It's been fun.
Again, it's Fine Cooking In Season. We spoke with editor Martha Holmberg, and it's published by Taunton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.